So I'm here with Isabella. Hello, Isabella.
Hi.
And what did you watch yesterday with me?
What was it called again?
That's what I'm asking you. I know what it was called.
I've forgotten what it is called.
I'll give you a clue. There were three of them.
The three doctors.
Well done. And of course, you being not the best person for concentrating on stuff, drifted a few times during the story. What parts of the story do you remember?
Well, I remember that the second doctor came and, there was a monster in it. That made people disappear.
Mm-hmm. That's the story, is it?
Yeah.
So that's basically, if all our podcasts did the synopsis of a 90-minute story that quickly, we wouldn't have much of a show, would we?
Hmm.
No. So what else do you remember?
I've forgotten.
What did you say?
I've forgotten.
About what?
The tiny bit of the story.
You've forgotten a tiny bit of the story.
Yeah, little.
Eh?
A little bit.
That's not very good, is it?
Sorry.
So you didn't like it then?
I did.
It's the first full classic Doctor Who story you've ever watched, if it is, you know.
I was listening. It's just, it
but
was
not paying
good.
Attention. It was good, was it? It can't have been that good.
It is that good.
Was it? Okay, so what happened then?
I keep saying I've forgotten.
You've forgotten. Like I say, it can't have been that good if you can't remember
good.
After one day.
It was good.
It was good, was it?
But I've forgotten. You know that some people forget things.
Could you remember any of the characters? Other than the Doctor and the Third Doctor and the Second Doctor?
Well, there was a girl, but I can't remember. Joe?
Well done.
There was a doctor in it.
Yes.
I can't remember its name.
Dr. Tyler.
Oh yeah, Dr. Tyler. What's the soldier's name?
Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart.
Yeah. Him.
Sergeant Benton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, them.
Okay. A big bun. You know the story, dear. Hang on, this is going
to
be interesting.
Go on then.
Go on then.
No.
You weren't even watching it, so go on then.
I was semi-watching.
Go on then.
No.
Tell me what you picked up, but bearing in mind you were semi-watching.
Well, it was about the Time Lords, and the Time Lords had to call the other two doctors to help the other doctor, and the Belonge, it was the Belonge, what is it? I called them jellies, didn't I? But you, trying to get rid of them, and they had to try and get rid of him. I can't remember the bloke in the mask though, what he was called. What was he called?
Omega.
Oh, that's him. That's it. They had to overpower him.
He didn't exist.
He didn't exist because he was stuck in that time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so.
He was stuck in an antimatter universe.
Ah, see? Yeah. See, I've got the rough see of the story, and the doctors had to defeat him. Is that right?
More or less, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Somebody
wasn't
didn't
even
actually.
I wasn't even watching it. Thank you.
Magic, what did you think of it?
I can't believe I wasn't even watching it.
You must have listened to it.
I don't know.
You
I was
must
just.
Have listened.
Services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 192. Oh, you've been doing the TARDIS up a bit. I don't like it. I'm Adam, and here's Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
What is this?
Here's Robert Haynes.
Those who oppose the will of Adam shall not live.
I like that
destroy
one.
Him.
No, oh, don't like that bit. And Mary Lang.
To quote the great John Levine, Nothing about you surprises me anymore, Doctor.
Welcome to the show. This week, of course, we're into the anniversary month. Therefore, we will be doing anniversary-themed reviews, starting, of course, with the first anniversary story, The Three Doctors.
And it was actually shown much closer to the 9th anniversary than the 10th
anniversary. I know
anniversary.
It was. I know, because on the DVD...
That's what I found.
Was it on the DVD? I think we're sure. Well, there was a 10th anniversary thing on one of the DVDs where Peter Purvis was talking about the 10th anniversary of Doctor Who. I think it was on one of the new ones, actually.
Some both, actually.
Is it the same one?
Yeah.
And, of course, you said last year, because it was on the 10th anniversary, you said last year this episode was...
Oh, that was in the Blue Peter section.
Yes, it was indeed, yes.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who. That's an old one, isn't it? Only people that have been listening to the show for extremely long time will remember that one. How is everyone, by the way?
Doing well.
Good. No Matthew or Reese this week. Matthew's been working too hard, and Reese has just been adding to his little book of excuses.
Slumming it.
But do you know what this means?
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
This means that someone different will win the quiz.
Someone different won the quiz a couple of weeks ago.
When, true. That's true.
When Matthew
the
was
rest
on.
Of us have a chance. Mm.
Okay, right then. The Three Doctors. By the way, listeners may have heard the little bit at the beginning because I watched this with Isabella yesterday. Deb was pottering around while it was on and very, very amusingly seemed to pick up more of the storyline, even though she wasn't really watching it that hard than Isabella did. But there we go. Yes, The Three Doctors.
She's seen it before, probably.
No, she hasn't, no.
You're kidding.
No, she hasn't, no. She doesn't watch Doctor Who. Yeah, so Rose Tyler's granddad is going off to some wildlife sanctuary place because there's a weather balloon has landed in this sort of sanctuary.
Same actor, is it?
Well, I don't know. But anyway, he's gone to investigate, but just as he arrives, Mr. Ollis, who's the chap who's called him, disappears mysteriously in a sort of white flash of white flashiness. I thought UNIT was a sort of like a secret organisation. Nevertheless,
right.
he says
say on the thing,
put me onto UNIT HQ, and the operator knew who this secret agency
yeah,
was.
Yeah, and with the brigadier's name, you know, right across there.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah, a great big sign in front of the building, yeah. Anyway, so they go in.
That's Springwell Lake close to... it's in Rickmansworth. It's close to Springwell Quarry, where they did most of the other outside stuff.
Splendid.
And guess what?
What?
Earthshock, the Twin Dilemma, and Delta and the Bannerman. Yay!
Yes, Robert.
No, I said it hasn't changed much. But also, you know those birds, they dubbed the sound of crows on instead of whatever birds they were.
Oh, well. Anyway, they all nip into the doctor's lab to have a cup of coffee. Or tea, or whatever beverage they were doing, while Rose Tyler's granddad just shows them a few of his findings. And, of course, the Brigadier feels a little bit sort of left out and lends the Doctor a silicon rod to stir his drink with.
Of one of the great scenes from this. I just love that stuff.
They all disappear while Dr. Tyler sort of examines some X-rays or whatever they're supposed to be and sees a face on one of the X-rays, and then not long after that he disappears. The Doctor meanwhile is using his sonic screwdriver as a Geiger counter when he goes to investigate the site. They come back to Unit HQ Unit HQ where this strange sort of Top of the Pops shape comes out of a drain and takes Bessie.
It's actually a feather boa.
Is it?
With some tinsel on.
Yeah, but it's funny you should say that. The sort of flowers that the Doctor brings up magically later on in the story are the same colour. Of course, they're feathers, the colour, not flowers. Yeah. So Bessie's gone.
Poor Bessie.
And things are starting to get gradually worse in regards to the situation. Some strange...
Let me interrupt you just for a second. To see how many of you guys noticed when Joe crawls over the car, crawls over Bessie to get to the other side, I would think you would have all noticed. Yeah, you would have noticed her underwear.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, she color codes.
No,
she
I didn't notice.
No, I'll have to go and watch that back now.
What's the time? That dress What's she has on is so short that when
Never
she...
I know.
Never yeah. mind. No, it's just quite interesting. If you watch the sort of, as Deb called them, jelly baby creatures, sauntering across... sauntering across the yard, then, of course, these explosions going off in it. You can see the wires coming out.
I know.
Trailing to the left.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting. Not very good monsters. But I'll tell you what was good about them. When they were in studio... They seem to have, like, within their eye, a little eye that looked really effective. They're sort of like an orangey.
That's helmet thing.
Yeah, I thought that looked pretty good. Anyway, meanwhile, things are getting progressively worse because the Unix soldiers aren't able to fight off this thing. So they have, well, Joe, the Doctor, and Benton have to take cover in the TARDIS. Of course, it's the first time Benton's been in the TARDIS. I like his line when the Doctor says, oh, don't go on and say it's bigger than the inside. And Benton says, oh, I thought that was fairly obvious, actually. I thought that was quite a
good line. Yeah, that was good.
Good line. Yeah, the Doctor's trying to operate an inoperable TARDIS, which is quite strange anyway. Then we meet the Time Lords, who sort of... I tell you what, the chap who was in the War Games is not a very good actor, is he? I found him quite irritating. The hairstyles.
I didn't have any problem with him.
The hairstyles were very 1973, weren't they? Or 1972, when this story was made.
I know.
And yeah, I thought they were a bit melodramatic, but hey.
Oh, back with the Bessie scene. Did anyone notice that it happens out on that patio area, and yet when the Doctor runs into when they come inside, the I think it's Benton who says something like, what was that? There's an explosion in the garage. And why does he say garage like that? Anyway, it wasn't in the garage. They had scripted it to be in the garage, but they decided at the last minute to move it outside.
Well spotted. Never saw that one. Anyway, so the Time Lords are just having a bit of a bicker about the fact that the only person they can send to save them is the Doctor. No one else is available, which is convenient. And, of course, the fact that they need more than one Time Lord, so they have to break the first law of time and send other Doctors in. And Be It On Your Head says, Mr. I was in the War Games. And... So therefore, there is a lovely shot of Patrick Troughton running through an exploding background scene, which must have been specially shot for the Three Doctors, because I don't remember it appearing in any other story. And then a recorder appears, and the Doctor says, "Oh, sorry," the Third Doctor says, "That's strangely familiar." And of course, then
that's strangely familiar. Yeah,
I love the bit when Benton recognises him, and they all get all pally. I thought it was fantastic. And of course, all this. Who's
although
he?
Wait, me? Wouldn't he have only met him in the invasion?
Robert,
somebody's been practicing for this moment.
Yeah, sorry, Kirby, I got distracted. Then what were you saying?
Wouldn't Benton have only seen him? Well, seen the Second Doctor just the one time.
Yeah, in the invasion.
In the invasion.
Yeah. So when did he say?
They're so terribly pally.
Yeah, but invasion was quite a long story, as we will see, because it is coming up as one of our review stories. It is quite a long story. So, why not? I mean, you've got to bear in mind that if Benton would have met the Doctor, the Brigadier would have known him quite well. Then they were met the Third Doctor. There would have been probably quite a lot of talk about this mysterious chap, and Benson and Brigadier would have said, well, we looked like this once, and now he looks like this. So I thought that was quite feasible.
Yeah, and caught in the middle of a bunch of stuff that's unfamiliar to you, anybody that's at all recognizable or familiar would be, you know, a big relief to meet.
Well, actually, one of the reasons why... There is a real reason why they're so pally.
Yeah.
It was scripted for Jamie.
Jamie?
Ah.
And he was not available because of Emmerdale.
Emmerdale, yeah.
Yeah, Emmerdale.
Just started that year as well. or around that time, 72, I think Numitoa began. But anyway, so things are going off. The Brigadier is trying to fight off the monster from outside. Then we see a lovely shot of William Hartnell outside in a garden, which is probably, you know, bearing in mind the rest of the story, he's stuck in a triangular shape thing.
Just...
Yes? Yeah. It's a shame that they did shoot some film of him, but they couldn't do any more.
It looks like a scene from the Aztecs.
It isn't, though. It's a specially shot
it's
scene.
Not actually, it's really? Not a special for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought he was in that garden scene from the Aztecs.
No, it's a specially shot for this story, which is, like I say, it does look very, does look like it could have been shot during that time. So, that's the only thing about this story, isn't it? That the only way we get to see the three doctors together is in this sort of detached sort of way.
And they did film that with that garden scene specifically for this story, and apparently he just felt worse between the time that they did that, because that was filmed during the time that they did some publicity photographs.
Yeah.
And then it must have been a week or two later when they were recording, he just felt much worse and could not walk.
Oh, right. Okay. Come on. Okay.
So obviously he could walk at that point.
Yeah. But anyway, the rapport between Pertwee and Troughton is instant. And, of course, the episode one ends with them flipping a coin and the second Doctor fixing it to be on the side that meant that the third Doctor would run out and Joe runs out.
You mean lack of rapport?
I beg your pardon? Lack of rapport.
Because they discovered when they were working together that they were somewhat, because their styles were somewhat different, that they had a little bit of difficulty working together.
Oh, seriously? They did it?
Seriously.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just put on for this.
You know why, Mary? Mm-mm. Mary? Patrick Troughton liked to not say his line as written, but generally what the line's about. Whereas John Pertwee learnt it line perfect, so he was waiting for his feed from
waiting for his
second
cue.
Doctor. So. Yeah,
I prefer
irritated him.
I like that style of acting that Troughton would do, because I would never be able to remember the word for word sort of thing, as I do when I'm doing the show.
It's too bad that we don't have the actor with us today, because I'd like to hear his input about that.
Indeed. So anyway,
none of these three actors do we have today.
No.
The actor who is part of our crew.
Oh, you mean Mr. Parton?
Yeah. Yes.
Who's departed the show for the time being. Right then, so the third Doctor's disappeared with Joe. Meanwhile, so that leaves the second Doctor.
You almost said Rose there.
Yeah, I did. The second Doctor to sort of battle the creature. And then the Brigadier turns up and gets all confused. And can't quite work out what's going on. Thinks the Doctor's changed his appearance back. And not, of course, the word regenerated is not mentioned.
See, this is an example of them making him sound dumb, though.
Yeah, this is what I said last week, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because in The Web of Fear, he's quite clearly open-minded and intelligent, and this one made him seem a bit stupid. And, you know, it made it look like more
rigid than stupid.
Well, it made it look like Benton was the one with a bit of brain, so Benton seemed to be the one that was sort of like humouring the Brigadier.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't in all these unit stories. Most of the time, the Brig was, you know, certainly in charge, and Benton was the one that, you know, was subversary. Is that the right word? Where in this one, clearly Benton was the one that looked like he knew what was going on and accepted things, and Brigadier took a bit too long to get his head round it all. But I just love seeing Patrick Troughton in this story. This is the thing, right? Because when I was little, I so clearly remember watching this story and recognising Patrick Troughton in it, but not understanding why I recognised him. But my mother told me later it's because I used to watch Doctor Who at the time when Patrick Troughton was in it, which is frustrating because, yes, I've watched all these missing episodes, but can't remember them apart from listening to audio. It's very, very frustrating. Something else that cropped up recently. But somebody said about the test guards, it's slightly related because obviously Troughton was around in 1967. That somebody said on a program I was watching, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, that the test card, in the BBC test card they put the colour one on with the girl and the clown and that in 1967. Yeah. Well, I can remember when the test card didn't have the girl and the thing was just a plain test card. And that would have meant I would be about one. So I must have been watching the television at one rather hypnotised by this very strange thing that was on the thing with just music playing in the background. Mm-hmm. And then remember this it changing to a girl.
I'll have to look that up because our test patterns always had an American Indian on them.
But I remember being spooked out by the when it changed to a because when I didn't see it in colour till about 1973 because I didn't see colour TV and, well apart from when it was in shop windows until about 73 because that's when we got ours when I was living with my grandparents so I only saw that picture in black and white when they changed it to the girl and the clown and the blackboard and stuff but I found it quite a spooky picture because it was the clown.
It is though.
The clown has a very spooky face and I used to have nightmares.
Yes, about, it does. I see that.
Yeah.
I used to have nightmares about a little book I used to have, a Humpty Dumpty book. And the smile on Humpty Dumpty in that book was similar to that clown. And I used to have these nightmares of the smile flipping over and Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall and dying and stuff. And it was supposed to be a children's book, so it wasn't supposed to give nightmares. Yes, I'm detracting from the story slightly here because it's bringing back memories. Yes?
No, you should watch Life on Mars because the character has... Well, it's got John Sim as, you know, the character. But he's watching TV and that test pattern is on and then it comes to life sort of thing. So.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, maybe I will get to watch
you'd,
that.
You'd like that.
I don't know if I don't know if I'd like it. But anyway, so
there's a Wikipedia article that says list of BBC test cards where you can see all of them.
Wonderful. I did actually see the old test card. They still use that picture, just with a HD version of it now. Occasionally you see it on some BBC channels. In the middle of the night, funny enough.
There's a picture of that on the Wikipedia article.
Yes, thank you for that. the Doctor and Joe appear in a quarry. So we know they're safe. And there are they find lots of other unit equipment in the quarry.
Including a tape drive that they call the Brigadier's computer.
That's just
a tape drive. Mm. That's not a computer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And then we have a Batman angle shot of Bessie sort of stopping.
Weird.
And then they sort of... Yes?
Go ahead. Did you notice anything about Bessie?
It's yellow. And they didn't have a hood. They couldn't use a hood, so they used a brolly. What? No. What?
Bessie had been transported... had been transported directly from unit headquarters, and yet somehow Bessie's tires had all the white gravel from them as if it had been driven to where they found it.
Kirby. Oh, my goodness.
Because it had been
Kirby.
Yes.
Anyway, the Brigadier insists the Doctor come with him for some sort of conference, so leaving Benton to use the gadget that the Doctor thinks is going to keep the creature back. Yes. Oh, I what?
I was going to say, you know, when they arrive and the Brigadier goes outside saying, well, we must be on some kind of beach.
Yeah.
That recalls, you know how the Second Doctor gets excited, which is to the Enemy of the World when he went to the beach there and he was excited.
Oh, right. Brilliant. Well, but that's later on in the story. So he's trying to, he's made this gadget with all these sparks. Now, these sparks look quite real. Are they real sparks?
Yes, they're real sparks.
Clever.
Yes, they were. They were. Yeah,
must have generated quite a lot of power to create those sparks. No, okay,
but it was controlled by a prop hand. It was a prop hand.
Anyway, so they didn't get very far, Brigadier and Doctor, because Benton calls a couple of times. They come back, and then they seem to have agitated this creature, and it didn't help the fact that Benton had thrown a chewing gum wrapper at it, which is strangely agitated.
If you cast your mind back to things like. Frankenstein's laboratory and a standard Jacob's Ladder spark thing there. It's extremely easy to do. I had a book when I was a kid which had instructions on how to make one out of the book was so old I was not able to get a Model T. Some of the electrical stuff from a Model T you could make a spark gap like that.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not that old.
Thank you. Anyway, so basically the gadget fails, and what the gadget does is aggravate the creature, and they have to – thank you.
Well, since Matthew wants to call me old man. Good grief.
Yeah, be quiet. So they have to jump into the TARDIS to shelter from it because it's getting very agitated. And this is the first time the Brigadier's being in the TARDIS. And he says something on the lines of, oh, so this is what you've been doing with unit equipment and funds. So the Doctor and Joe stumble across Rose Tyler's granddad in the middle of the quarry, wearing the 11th Doctor's jacket. And, I think they end up sort of heading for the caves. Meanwhile, the Doctor is discussing plans with Benton and the Brigadier.
I think you just put together two of the characters.
Did I?
Because you were... Okay, you're referring to Dr. Tyler, Rex Robinson, as
Rose's
granddad. Granddad.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of, at first I thought you were talking about Ollis.
No.
Yeah.
Ollis's name isn't Tyler.
I thought he had him confused, yeah.
Oh, that's why you're saying Dr. Tyler. Oh, now I get it. It's 5:22 in the morning.
Yeah, but I said at the beginning that he turned up because he'd got a call from Ollis. And then Ollis disappeared. Okay. Anyway, back to this part.
Since he keeps showing, that actor keeps showing up in The Monster of Peladon and in The Hand of Fear as well.
Okay. Right, so the Doctor rigs up, he does a thing that really interests me, actually, that he fiddles with the Brigadier's radio, like the 10th Doctor did with Rose's phone. So as, was it the 9th Doctor? So as they can use it within the TARDIS.
And I love the way he plays with that thing. All the parts fall out.
Yes.
Oh, well, maybe.
And also the fact that it doesn't work in
CC.
Yeah, didn't he have to bang it to get it to work or something like that? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So meanwhile, the Doctor and Joe...
And this is years before Fonzie.
Indeed. The Doctor, Joe, and Rose's granddad end up inside the Omega's sort of inner sanctum. Now, the thing I've liked about this is the way that they superimpose the entrance of the inner sanctum on the wall of the quarry. I quite like that worked really, really well for me. And I know they did a similar thing in earlier and later stories, but that looked really, really quite effective.
Yeah, this one looks better than the Ronnie's one, which was done with the same technique.
But did they not do a similar thing in the colony in space?
I wouldn't know.
Yes,
I haven't seen it.
I think so. Yeah, I think they did, yeah.
I knew Robert would verify this. The corridors are a bit... the sort of bubbles on the walls are quite effective, but the circular things look a bit naff.
And I like the background music through any of the scenes where they're going down those corridors. The little tinkly...
That's okay.
Magical music.
Yeah.
So,
while they're in the sort of stuck in the TARDIS, the first Doctor appears on the screen and just gives, you know, shocking, isn't it? Just gives the second Doctor a bit of a clue as what he should do. And that was, I think, just drop the force fields. Then the whole of Unit HQ
The whole of Unit HQ disappears, revealing that magically an entire lawn of
grass the lawn appears
was growing underneath it.
Yeah, no sign of the building at all.
Yeah. I hadn't actually thought of that one, but yes, well done. Bearing in mind, of course, is it Smith and Jones when the whole hospital disappears?
The
foundations.
The footprint of the building was there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
I've always wondered how, when the hospital comes back in Smith and Jones, how they managed to reconnect all of the pipes and
plumbing and all that. Yeah.
The plumbing.
It's science fiction fantasy TV show. Joe and Granddad Tyler have been put in some sort of little prison while Omega and his little telly in the wall, which is remind me of the Flintstones a little bit.
why couldn't they have used the same big projection screen that they used on Gallifrey or at the unknown named planet of Time Lords at the time?
I don't know.
It would have looked a lot better.
I think because colour television in those days was proper high tech. They couldn't see a way forward from that. But Yeah, it's a lot of Omega is very like that. But yeah, quite good fun with it.
Well, he'd been practicing since he was Azal.
Yeah.
And then he would later be Eldrad.
I do like the science that they used in all these in regards to singularities and black holes and I quite like the way they try to explain things with it. It sort of made a small amount of sense.
So
like you said earlier on, Robert, the Brigadier sort of is quite clear, sure it's Chroma and not another planet. And they bump into Ollis and his sort of shredded wheat hairstyle.
Speaking of the Brigadier for just a second,
I was doing my impression of the never mind, carry on.
Preachers.
Yeah, carry on.
Speaking
of the Brigadier,
What is going on with? Is there a reference I'm not getting other than the fact that years later, they made a documentary, a documentary which wasn't a documentary because the Nicholas Courtney was in character as the Brigadier. Mm. Why? What is Liberty Hall? Dr. Tyler, Liberty Hall.
Yeah, you know what it means, Kirby?
Kirby?
What?
You know what it means?
It's talking about freedom. It's about freedom. He's just saying liberty, meaning freedom. All it is saying being free.
Free of what? I mean, for it to be a historical reference, what is
whatever?
I forget what the comment he said. Yeah, what was the comment that the character said beforehand, though? And that's where he talks about Liberty Hall, meaning freedom. That's all it means.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
So maybe listen
Robert.
To it. Think of that in the context when you watch it again.
Yes.
So there's no real historical.
That's during the conversation where Dr. Tyler's in using the equipment and the Brigadier says we're only supposed to be a top secret security establishment.
There you go. Because he's taking advantage of using all the unit's equipment. So he's saying you're taking your freedom, your liberty with it. That's all he's saying.
But why the hall part?
Yeah,
I don't know.
The way he says it sounds like there should be some historical context.
Major historical context when I think Liberty Hall is in Philadelphia. That's American history. That would go over the head of the British, I would assume.
I didn't know what the British historical context
read
would
the
be.
Production sub. Read the production subtitles at that point.
I did. At least on my copy, they were nattering off about something else.
It was talking about the special edition that I watched. So I know they sometimes redo the
they've redone subtitles it because there's nothing on my copy.
Yeah. Okay. But that's all. That's all it means is that he's taking liberty with the equipment.
Can I get back to the story?
Yeah. Yep.
We're talking about the story, really?
About the story, though.
Meanwhile,
that doesn't really make sense to
me. The second Doctor and Benson and Brigadier appear in the inner sanctum, and this is where we have that lovely scene where Omega says, works out that they're the same Time Lord. I think which is quite good fun.
The same Time Lord.
Yeah. Because they try to outsmart Omega, but. It doesn't really work because it angers him. And when they all get banged up in a little cell, the two doctors, spurred on by Joe, decide to conjure up a door. I've never known them to the doctors in future episodes to conjure up things like that.
I say they're more successful than Omega, who all he can do is conjure up a chair.
Yeah, but he also conjured up the whole of the planet.
Conjured up the world, though.
the reason they can do that, they're doing it because of the world, not as something which is a Time Lord trait. It's because they're taking advantage of the same reason that Omega can conjure up chairs and everything else. It's just that antimatter world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they escape through this little door, and then they come into the light stream, which is a bit of a shame, really. They couldn't really do much with that light stream because the idea of it was quite grand, and all we get is a little hole with the smoke coming up through it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can hear people stepping down the other side.
Yeah, and also yes. you can hear the fan going, whoa, 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 in the background as well.
Yeah.
Such a shame.
You mean like when it's summer here, Adam?
Yeah. So basically all this shenanigans, a lot of them do escape, Benton, Joe, Grandad, Ollis and the Brigadier, but the two doctors that are left inside. And then Omega decides to pick a fight with the third doctor.
Which I also find interesting that the big brave soldiers are the ones that get to hang back and go last, whereas they're sending all the innocent, you know, civilians first to discover whether this works or not.
Yes. There was also something about this story that got me
thinking. You know what I was saying about, you know, how he's fighting that King's Champion or whatever it is?
Yeah.
That was, remember when we did Planet of Evil, I was saying that reminded me of that scene here?
Yes.
You know,
when
the doctor's in the pit?
That.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can I just say, because I don't want to forget it by the end of the story, that what the character of Omega, the way he was portrayed and this world and that, certain aspects of it reminded me of Darth Vader, and there was just something about it made me think of Star Wars. And of course, this is like 5 years, no, 3 years, 4 years, sorry, before Star Wars. So,
although in this case, you are actually hearing the real voice of the actor who is in the costume.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
At certain angles, you can see his voice. You can see his mouth moving.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, it's just the fact that he was talking. You will fight the dark side of my mind. Made me think of Star Wars and the fact that it was Darth Vader-y.
He does talk about the dark side of his mind. Yeah.
Anyway, so there's I have a bit of a rumble, a sort of a psychic rumble. Meanwhile, the Time Lords send the first doctor through, but again he's still stuck in his little triangular shape thingamajig.
Well, interestingly, in the script, when Bob Baker and Dave Martin were writing, it was probably Bob Baker who was doing this. He referred to the doctors. Nowadays we think of them numerically, but he wrote in his instructions in the script for when the third doctor would speak, he wrote that as Doctor One, second doctor is Doctor Two, and first doctor is Doctor Three.
How confusing.
But no one had done anything like that before. And so we didn't have there was no precedent.
Yeah. So anyway, he doesn't. There's no killing of the Doctor, fortunately. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it now. So the battle's a bit of a stalemate in the end, and Omega goes on about basically his idea is that he wants a Time Lord to take over running of the world, so as he can escape back to the other universe and reap his revenge on the Time Lords. But unfortunately, when he takes his mask off, because the doctors do agree to do this, haven't really got much choice, there's nothing left of him, only his will. And he gets in a bit of a tantrum again. It's a very childish sort of character.
Fred loved those scenes.
Decides
she just loved this story.
No, I'm not surprised. It's a good story. It's just good fun, isn't it? It's not the best special effects ever, anything like that, but it's just a good fun story.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, exactly. I love this. I could watch this over and over again. It's just such good fun. Of course, I glossed over the he is me and I am he or whatever, and Joe saying it's a song by the Beatles. I just love that.
And we're all together cuckoo.
Yeah.
How does it go?
Yeah. Well, you want me to tell you how it goes, Robert?
No, that's what... That's how the second doctor
said. It's just fantastic.
He
goes
and plays in his recorder.
Yeah. So again, the doctors get a bit stuck, and the only way they can move forward is by the input of the first doctor, which I thought was a bit strange, really, because he's younger than them two. You would have thought they'd be wiser than him. But never mind. Obviously, the third doctor's forgot a lot of stuff, but the second doctor hasn't. So you would have thought that they would have worked around that somewhere along the line. You would have thought.
Yeah,
for
I
me
didn't
that,
understand the first Doctor being the wisest one
yeah,
at all.
Would, for me, the second Doctor would be the wisest because he'd still have knowledge of all the you know dematerialization codes and stuff like that.
Right.
So he technically should be able to fly the TARDIS, even though it hasn't got a dematerialization circuit yet. I do like the aspect of the recorder falling into the force field. How it fell into in that precise place, I don't know. But it doesn't matter. But I like the fact that they've decided that keeps it as matter rather than antimatter.
There
I like
was
that
a
idea.
In the script, it's indicated that the second Doctor puts it on top of the time rotor.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case.
Falls.
That's how I imagined it. Yeah,
and they cut that out when they were doing blocking everything. That's info.
But nevertheless, it works really well as a concept that the fact that it's in a force field, so it still matters. All it has to do is come in contact with. Although, the force field has to be around the whole box, because that whole box is matter technically as well, isn't it? That he's holding it. So that's a bit confusing. So there's a bit of contradiction there, but I don't care.
No, the box was converted the way everything else was, but not the inside of the box.
Ah, okay.
Right,
thank you for that.
Right.
Fair enough. So, pay
attention.
Yeah, and of course, they sort of offer the box to Omega, who gets a bit petulant again and knocks it out of the hands.
There's
a big bang! And everything snaps back to place. So it's like a bit of a reset, but. And then it ends very abruptly. Yes?
Fred was really laughing at the scenes where everyone's jumped up in the air.
Yeah, they did that though in the Angel ones, Blood and Stone and stuff, didn't they? What it was called, the Angel Stories with the gravity globe. What it was called?
Time and the Angels.
Yeah, that's the one. Then the Doctor gets his memories back and everything, and we at the time we're thinking, oh, good. Lots of outer space stories and stuff. And that was it. And yeah, so the Three Doctors. It's a complete joy. It's not perfect as far as plot or whatever goes or anything like that. But the fact that it's such good fun, it's so rewatchable, means it must be bloody good. Mary.
Yes. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm such a big fan of multi-doctor stories.
Yes.
It's once they start, it's like I just start grinning and, you know, just loving every minute of watching them interact. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Mm. And I loved the sets in this. I liked the sets.
That's
on
what
Omega's
she said.
Planet.
Oh, sorry.
I love the jewel-like colors. They must have thrown a lot of money at this episode. And as we mentioned earlier, I liked the music in it too. The only thing that, of course, suffered for now we get to watch this in HD is that when they do the close-ups of the walls, you can see their actual paint strokes, and it's not.
It wasn't finished, Mary. They didn't finish the sets.
Yeah, well, and in black and white, which probably most people were watching it probably didn't matter. The costumes, I'm telling you, Joe, they make her so ridiculous all the time. Big furry coat, and she's got this dress that is so short that she just, climbing across Bessie, you can see her underpants. And I don't know what it is they've got with the women companions. They keep putting them in the stupidest shoes. She's got those heeled boots on, and she's supposed to be running around in a quarry. It reminded me of...
They didn't know they were going to end up in a quarry.
She reminded me of character. Romana's little strappy sandals and Stones of Blood. Why'd the women keep wearing these silly shoes? I don't know. And one thing I got a chuckle out of is a line of Omega's where he sounds like Yoda. Come to me, you shall. But anyway, I just enjoyed it. I just grinned from ear to ear all the way through because it's a great story. This is actually the third time I've seen this, but I enjoyed it even for the third time.
It's a John Pertwee story you like.
You're right, except for that little wrestling thing with John Pertwee. That one I did, that little bit of it I didn't care for too much, but everything else I loved.
Good. Now, it just reminded me of the fact that this was made like 4 years or 3 years after Troughton left. So it's just so nice to see Troughton in colour, really, looking like he did when he was actually the Doctor. That's what I enjoy most about it.
And obviously wearing a wig.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, it was a wig. You could tell.
Okay. Kirby.
Oh, this is absolutely marvelous. I first saw that this was my first exposure to the to all the old Doctors, actually. I had never seen before. I saw this at a science fiction convention in the 80s. I had never seen any story that had any Doctor other than Tom Baker. So I remember we had set up four or five VCRs in someone's room and connected them all together so we could make copies of episodes and just enjoying 2 hours spent watching a very, very fun episode. I just love this one and we'll go back to it whenever I can. This was one of the first DVDs I got. Had to, because I had such good memories of it.
Excellent.
That's about it. It's just fun.
Robert.
Yeah, pretty much the same of what everybody else has said.
Except you probably saw it when it was first on, right?
No, I do not remember. As I said, my earliest memory is Planet of Spiders.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love, because this was the first time I'd actually seen another Doctor besides, I think probably at the time when I watched it, I saw Baker and Patrick Baker and John Pertwee.
Colin
so
Baker?
For me, it was Tom Baker.
you said Baker, so I'm just
yeah.
He's just being Kirby.
Okay,
it's just poking him.
he's got to stare at somebody each week, and he
that's right.
He's missing Matthew.
That's right. So you're it.
Yes. But they have the TARDIS doors open a lot when they're in the unit headquarters. And
yes.
You just see the empty black of the inside
That's
of the prop.
Right.
I think that,
yeah.
That was pretty sad to see. But, and also that the fact that the interior of Omega's World didn't seem like as grand as it should have been. As we've mentioned, the Pillar of Flame and the unfinished sets, that sort of spoils it. But, yeah, it's a really sort of nice, good romp. And it's funny
on that point, excuse me, but it occurred to me, while seeing those black interiors, why didn't they at least paint the interior white or have a light shine from in there, to indicate how white the interior really was? But it really made it look like a prop because it was so black. When they would do the interior shots, they'd be really white. So, I don't know. Anyway,
but that might have been part of the scene. Makers not, finishing painting as well. You never know. But yeah, it's absolute joy to see all the Doctors together and their interactions. And it's just a bit sad that, this was Hartnell's last performance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. Good point.
It was nice to actually see him reliving his role, after many years. So,
yeah,
and it was one of his favorite TV roles as well. So.
Yeah,
that was an extra bonus. So,
excellent,
lovely.
Thank you very much.
I just remembered something.
Yeah,
it was funny that this, because of when they found out Hartnell couldn't do as much as he could, they had to rewrite the same thing. As Kirby had mentioned, it was originally written with Jamie in it, and Benton took over that sort of role. It's funny how both this and the five Doctors ended up being the same, having to accommodate in the script things that they couldn't work out in real life, with availability of actors, etc.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Robert. Right. I think we'll move on to feedback. So I do want to see what we've got. Let's have a look. Let's see what we've got. Right then. Inbox. Okay, we've got Mary Lang. No, that was from before, sorry. We've got this one. Hang on, if I see if I can get my microphone stuff working. Here we go. It says play. I'll play that. There we go. Play. Let's hope this works.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Fireworks a lot closer tonight. The Three Doctors by Baker and Martin. There's not a lot of plot to this story. A creature sent by Omega to capture the Doctor and mistakenly takes several other people as well. There are 2.5 Doctors, and the first is trapped. The Doctors defeat Omega, and everybody goes back where they belong. A senior Time Lord says they are pledged to protect the other races. I thought they never interfered.
Yeah.
I can see why the actors and writers would have a lot of respect for William Hartnell, but this is crossed over into the script. The second and third Doctors defer to the first Doctor, who is actually the youngest.
Yep.
On Earth, whenever new technology comes along, the wheel, gunpowder, the internet, the government's first thought is, how can this be used to protect the government? How come the Time Lords do not know about the future, sending messages back to themselves? The other thing is, they would not be limited to using just the first three Doctors, but never mind. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. And not interesting to note that you picked up a couple of things, points that I found while watching the story.
Yeah. And what are the fireworks about?
Because it's, well...
Echo.
Tomorrow... Oh, hello. Tomorrow is firework night, so or bonfire night. So lots of fireworks are going off that time.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Therefore, this is from...
Before anything, everyone, sorry I couldn't be with you, but like Reese, unfortunately...
Oh, dear.
What was that?
That was Matthew's feedback starting and then stopping again. Should we start again?
Huh?
Yes.
Okay. I hope it doesn't stop this time. Well, that's weird. Doesn't want to play it.
You haven't pressed delete instead, have you?
No, I pressed play and then it stopped. Let's try. I'll close it down. Try again. Here we go.
Odd.
Good morning, good evening, everyone. Sorry I couldn't be with you, but like Reese, unfortunately, real life has gotten in the way this week, so I'm afraid I can't join you. So, just like back in the good old days, I'm sending you in this piece of audio feedback on The Three Doctors. Now, The Three Doctors is a story that holds a very special place for me as a Doctor Who fan. Next week's selection, The Five Doctors, as I've mentioned before, was my first proper Doctor Who story. And this was my second proper story. And if The Five Doctors was the story that introduced me to Doctor Who and made me a fan, this is the story that solidified it. Certainly, the fact that I've subsequently become a big fan of the Pertwee era and a big fan of the Unit era, I suspect has a lot to do with this story, and also to a certain, maybe to a lesser extent, Five Doctors. But it is a good story, isn't it? And it firmly establishes kind of the formula for how you do multi-doctor stories, in that if you're going to bring them together, you have to have an event, something big enough to bring them together. In real life, of course, it's going to be, it's usually an anniversary year. Whereas in the, but you have to have a story reason, a sort of a logical story reason. And The Three Doctors establishes this by having this event that is so colossal that it even threatens the Time Lords, to the point that the Time Lords have to bring the Doctors together. And that's part of the interesting thing of this story. I think what really is fantastic about this story is the chemistry between Pertwee and Troughton and the way they bicker with one another. Really kind of jockeying for position almost at times. And that's, apparently in real life they got along, but when they did subsequent convention appearances, particularly in the 1980s, before Troughton sadly passed away, they continued that. And I think the story works because of that, but also the story also splits them up a bit to a certain extent. Particularly I think in episode 2, where, the Third Doctor ends up in Omega's universe while the Second Doctor is effectively working with UNIT. And I know that Adam was talking last week about, Nicholas Courtney and the Brigadier being dumbed down a bit. But I think actually that works very well here, and it plays well into the story. And I actually think performance-wise, this is one of Nicholas Courtney's best stories, at least, because he's playing the comedy very well. And in fact, as Kirby may have pointed out, if he's had time to listen to the commentary, some of the Brigadier's lines in the story was improvised by Nicholas Courtney. So, and that's a fantastic bit of this story as well, is that all the interplay between everybody. Also, Stephen Thorne as Omega. And, you know, yes, he's a bit over the top and a bit shouty, but I think he works effectively. And he's almost a tragic figure in a way. You know, he's, as he says, he's this guy who gave the Time Lords the ability to travel through time, but yet is trapped in this universe. And there's that wonderful exchange in episode 3 between the Third Doctor and Omega, where the Doctor says, all my life I've looked up to you as our greatest hero, and Omega turns on and says, a hero? I should have been a god. The big twist towards the end with him, which gets me every time, and I remember it really surprising me the first time I watched this in 2007. And even now, it still makes me sort of jump a bit, you know, when he takes that wonderful mask off and sees that there's absolutely nothing underneath. And the fact that he's, in fact, being kept alive entirely by the force of his own anger. And that he, you know, almost to a certain extent, can't quite accept the fact that he can't have a normal life again. Now, I would argue that Ian Collier, I think, maybe, who played Omega in Arc of Infinity and also Big Finish's Omega in 2003. And Omega is highly recommended, I have to say. Perhaps the better actor of Omega, but I think Stephen Thorne does a very good job here. And he also played Azal in The Demons, which we reviewed not that long ago as well. I've rambled on for a bit now, so apologize. I'm just going to say... bye to everybody, and hope everybody's doing well. Oh, and as always...
Oh, what's happened there? Oh, no. What?
So long, and thanks for the fish.
And thanks for all the fish. We try to warn you. Yes, that was good old Matthew Kressel.
Speaking of Greek tragedy, you could almost look at Omega's mask, and it looks like one of those tragedy comedy
masks. It's more samurai. It's more samurai, though.
Yeah, I mean, it could be kind of the tragedy mask.
Can I just say, that's the first time Matthew's ever spoken on this show in any format that you haven't interrupted him, so I'd like to congratulate you. on that one, Kirby.
I still say we should just go ahead and say he won the quiz.
Yeah,
why not?
Win it anyway. Yeah, he's not even in. I got an email from Roy Spearman, who used to be known as the Isle of Wight listener. I don't think if it's any relation to the podcast, but he sent me an email. It says, "Own the complete collection of the new Doctor Who stamps," so you can send off apparently. For the complete collection that I already have. So go to the Royal Mail website. I'm sure they'll have ways in which you can get it.
They've got some here now, apparently, as well.
Have they?
In Australia.
Okay,
yes.
Right. There is more feedback, if I can find it, because it's on the Facebook group. Because this is the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Now, if I can just find it. There was a notification. Here it is. It's Dinos Daniel, who says, Adam, I hope this will count as some type of feedback. It does. I would like to pose a question of the cast. Would that be John Pertwee? He's dead, unfortunately. So is Patrick Troughton. He's dead too. But anyway, before the 50th, the handy doctor, he's talking about the tenant doctor that came from the hand. The handy doctor was banished for doing what needed doing in Journey's End. If the Time War doctor was banished for doing what needed doing also, then is the doctor a coward, afraid of making the big decision? I think that's a question for all of us. I don't know. And I've just got a message from Robert saying I will get a photo done, especially for this, and upload it to ASAP. Thank you, Robert. So what, does anybody like to respond to that? I have. I said I don't know.
What was the question again?
Oh, for God's sake. I would like to pose a question to the cast. Before the 50th, the handy doctor was banished for doing what needed doing in Journey's End. If the Time War doctor was banished for doing what needed doing also, then is the doctor a coward, afraid of making the big decisions? Well, I suppose you could say no, He's been banished to Earth when he was the second doctor. He did the big decision that saved everybody in Journey's End, and of course saved the whole universe, I suppose, by wiping out all the Time Lords and the Time War. So what do you think, Robert?
What about Genesis of the Daleks?
Yes.
The Doctor had a choice to make there about shall he kill off, commit genocide by killing off the entire Dalek race?
Yeah.
Which he didn't take it out. So does that make him a coward? Because you don't want to commit genocide?
I think it means he's developed some sort of compassion, probably from hanging around with humans. Because he didn't have much compassion when he first departed with Barbara and Ian. I think it's just something he's learned, he's picked up from
hanging around with humans. That's very true. I mean, if you go back and watch the first episode, you look how cranky and crotchety he is. You wouldn't like him as your grandfather, if you know what I mean.
It's quite funny if you look back at the early episodes of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, you find out how cranky and crotchety I was. So maybe it's just a fun thing that came.
You're still cranky and crotchety
that Kangas were not hanging around with teenage children.
Doesn't the fourth Doctor also face that? If it was Robots of Death, I know he was with Layla, and he was going to put those two wires together, which would have...
That was Genesis of the Daleks.
That's just Genesis of the Daleks.
Okay, all right.
That was Sarah Jane.
Okay.
Yeah. We just referred to that.
Would anybody else like to comment on the question that Dinos has posed? No? No. I thought it was quite a good question.
It remains to be seen about the Time War.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
In about 3 weeks' time, in fact. Right then. So, thanks for that. Yes, just about enough feedback to stop me from singing this week, but only just. And only just in the nick of time.
Please listen. Please.
Yes, and if you want to send feedback into the show, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And, of course, join our group, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Of course, I have to welcome new members, do I not? And I've just closed the page down.
Yep.
Wait, I see that Robert's message has been seen by Reese. Where is Reese?
He can look at messages, but he can't join us?
Well, Robert should pose that question to Reese personally.
I posed it, 2 weeks ago when he did the same thing. And what he'd said was that he has enough time. He doesn't have the time to watch the shows. So even though he may be available at this time, he's not able to.
So basically, he could join us now because we've done the review.
He could join us now because we're not doing the review part.
Yes. So he could just
excuse himself from
mind
the quiz.
You, yeah, you can bugger off for the quiz. Yeah. anyway, new members to the group. Let's have a look. No, I've pressed the wrong button now. How do I find out who the new members are?
Click on it says two new.
Does it? Do you?
Well, for me.
Two new. Oh, hang on. Oh, yeah. Two new. Here we go.
Were three, but we had a troll.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's Jignesh Gohel. I hope I said that right. And Angela Rowley. Both added by me. I'm so pleased I managed to get in ahead of you lot.
You added the troll too.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't. I couldn't see any information on it, so you have to take it by face value sometimes.
I'm just being.
You added, me. I added, you deleted. We work together as a team, you say.
Yes.
right. I think that was.
By the way, the corner shop. That's the. The British store here in the Atlanta area has promised.
Talk about free advertising. You talk about them all.
Yes.
Well, they're going to put a little thing up on their Facebook page about us.
Good. Just watch here.
Ooh.
Okay.
As soon as they, I will share that to the group.
Good. Thank you. So, yes, as I was saying, please join the group, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, and you get a free mention on the show. There you go. Isn't that great? Apparently, Alicia said yesterday she was at work. She works at a chip shop in Cowes, and people that she was working with know of the podcast, and she was getting a bit worried about this because, obviously, in regards to her reputation. So, don't know how that works. I don't think listen to the show, but yes.
You know what that sounds like?
What do you mean?
A chip shop in Cowes.
No.
No.
That means they had cow chips.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and also your audio sounds really weird now, Kirby.
Yeah. Cyberman. Yeah. Cyber Kirby.
You're evaporating into ether.
What is the secret to fixing that?
Rebooting.
Not necessarily rebooting. It's going away and come back again, or?
I should get out of the call and then come back.
No, we can talk about him for a bit.
Don't go.
Yeah, you better do before we can't understand a word you're saying, which is getting that way now.
Has he gone? Adam.
Has he gone? Can we talk about him now?
Oh, no,
he's still there. Oh, he's gone now. Right.
He's gone now. So about Kirby.
Yeah. Oh, Mary, you got your 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast T-shirt. The trouble is, when I sent it to you, you could read it all around the right way. I see now it's arrived with you. All the text is reversed. It's a very strange phenomenon.
That's my techno inexperience. I don't know how to turn the picture around, but this David Adams turned it around for me. So did you see it?
I did. Don't worry, I'm perfectly capable of flipping pictures. But you can do that within Facebook itself, I think. You can just go into edit and it can rotate.
Oh, really? And it lets you do it? Okay. Mm. I didn't know that.
Apparently so. And of course, as I said, feedback 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
It's back online.
Is he? Oh, good grief. Hang on.
Yeah, and for anyone who wants to get one of those T-shirts, I also did the picture so you could kind of see what it looks like in black. Which I think looks really nice.
Yeah, my wife has ordered a black one with long sleeves.
Ah.
A black one with long sleeves.
Oh, dear, he's exactly the same. What are you going to do with him? You're exactly the same as you were before you went away.
Let me close and thanks to iTunes.
There you go. He's fiddling around with his Wikipedia pages, you see.
Yes, everything's open.
Yeah, it's all
coming
through.
He's got Wikipedia.
You can't escape it now. The computer's...
That's too much.
Computers rumble.
And something that I think I asked you, Adam, is because these shirts are being done by Vistaprint in the UK, and I'm even looking at a Vistaprint commercial right now on my Facebook page, and I just wondered if it would make it less expensive for the US fans that would want one if we could do this through the US thing of Vistaprint.
Possible, but
yeah,
you'd have to...
If they can share the design with their UK partners.
Well, no, you'd have to get, the graphic from me and then upload it to Vistaprint, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any difference?
No.
Really, no.
Nah. How is it that...
Reboot?
If I reboot, it's going to take 5 minutes.
Okay. I'll tell you what, if you reboot in that 5 minutes, I can begin the news. Is that all right?
We do news,
Okay.
And the news is Kirby Bartlett Sloan has left the 20 Megabyte Box 3 podcast. He apparently is going to come back at some point. Okay, right. News. Okay, news. We did do a lot of news last week. I don't know why, because there wasn't much anyway, was there? But this week, there's very interesting news, because the 50th anniversary celebration, of which I'm going to on the 23rd of November, has announced some guests, one of which is Peter Davison, which I didn't even know he wasn't going to it, so I was quite pleased of this. But they've confirmed the following people, which I'm so delighted about, and I do hope I'm going to get a chance to have pictures taken with friend of the show, Fraser Hines, Deborah Watling, Katie Manning, friend of the show, Louise Jameson, Janet Fielding, hopefully friend of the show, Nicola Bryant, at long last, Sophie Aldred, a family member of the show, Daphne Ashbrook, Yi Ji So, Jeffrey Beavers, David Collings, Terence Dix, the legend that is, and Jane Hudson. Great lineup on the day I'm going to add to the one that's already there. I know they've got some good people on the 22nd and 24th, but particularly pleased that Daphne Ashbrook is going. I've already sort of hinted to Vito that it would be particularly nice to meet her and for her to remember that who I was and stuff. I've got a mug here, which I was saving back. I'm going to give the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast mug.
Stop talking about yourself like that.
In this box. This is a box containing a 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast mug. I'm going to give that to Daphne if I get the chance to meet her on the day.
Those people have a bit of traveling to do, because several of the companions that you mentioned are going to be in Chicago later the same week. So they've got a little bit of traveling to do.
Well, Vito said he'd like to be able to come but can't. So it's Daphne on the rain. So I'm really hoping that's you know, they've also said that they're going to do a screening, a 2D screening of the 50th anniversary episode, The Day of the Doctor, at that event, only on the 23rd. So that's fantastic. But bad news is that first come, first served. So I don't know if it's a case where we have to turn up desperately early to make sure we get tickets for that. If not, we'll be going back to the hotel earlier than I'd like to. But I would like to be there amongst hundreds of Doctor Who fans watching that together on a big screen in the theatre where we're going to see Matt Smith and all the other people there. So it's rather adding to it. And it's also what I hoped for. But I just hope there's going to be a lot of people, half the people, in fact, that are going. That are going to miss out on that opportunity to see it when it goes out, simulcast actually at the event itself. So they're all very exciting, and it's going to be a very exciting weekend all round. In fact, we're going to the Harry Potter Studios the next day as well. So Deb has got herself ordered a long sleeve black 20 megabyte t-shirt. Isabella already has hers, so we're going to be there. If anybody's going, please let me know. Please come and say hello. As members of other podcasts as well. Yes, I don't mind other podcasts, really. I only pretend not to like them. Please come and say hello. We'll be wearing our t-shirts. It's our logo, and it does say quite clearly on it, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, of which anybody going to the American conventions that people like Dear Mary and Kirby and Matthew or whoever haven't got the t-shirts yet, but will do, I'm sure they will do at some point. It's fairly blatantly obvious logo if you're a member of the group or anything, really. So you can't miss it.
And I noticed that the Fourth Doctor is only going to be there on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's the day I'm there.
The day you're there.
I might get an autograph.
Have a unique experience.
I might get an autograph, but I know I won't get a photo because they're going to be a bit picky with photos. It's only, I think, at the moment, it's only people who've got tickets to get specific photos of Matt Smith. But I'm hoping that's going to change on the day. So. And also I'm on an email situation with them, but I've never got an email of this news. I've heard through other sources, so I meant to phone them up and complain, but I couldn't get through. Audiogo are in administration, which is a bit of a shame, because I thought that audio books and stuff were going up in the world, but obviously Audible have sort of taken over the market. You had thought also Audible may even take over Audiogo just to sort of absorb them and expand a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's a sad
So what are they going to do about forthcoming releases then?
I really don't know.
That have been planned.
I don't know, because it says something about there's a series that has been available from co-producers Big Finish. So obviously Big Finish have a sort of hand in Audiogo. It's a BBC thing as well, isn't it? Very sad situation, that.
Telling me.
And there's going to be a pop-up shop in Melbourne. Australia.
Not good for me.
I've announced that Doctor Who pop-up shop is
good for Reece.
Richmond in Melbourne. The door's opening next Saturday, November the 9th. Does that mean it's only there for a limited period?
Yeah. They're doing a few of them. I think they had one in Sydney as well or something.
Oh, I see.
South Wales,
Okay. We have sponsors. Mary?
Yes.
Who1.co.uk.
I think we're going to have to change our sponsors soon, so as Mary doesn't know who they are. Coming soon to who1.co.uk, you can get The Missing Persons, which is an audio book CD thing by Hamish Steele, Anal, or et al. And there's also the Assassination Games, which is a Big Finish release about the 7th Doctor. I'm currently listening to the 50th anniversary Big Finish special. I've got halfway through it now.
You haven't finished it yet.
Thoroughly enjoying it. I'm doing it when I'm walking the dogs in the morning.
Hey, Adam.
Light at the end, I believe
it's
called.
Did you notice the contact bit?
The what bit?
Did you notice the three Doctors on a bit with the contact?
Yes.
When they're getting themselves up to each other? Yeah, did you notice that in Light at the End?
I've only listened to half of it.
Okay, maybe it comes in the second half.
Yes,
I can't
don't
remember.
Give the game away.
No, it's just like, I'm just saying, because we reviewed The Three Doctors, this is where that bit originated. Worth mentioning.
Homage. Yes, they've got Afterlife, Big Finish production featuring the Seventh Doctor, an Unearthly Child audio book. Who's that one? Let's have a click on that. See who reads it. It's probably William Russell, who's also
William
attending.
Russell. Yeah,
he's also attending the
event
I'm
going
to but I don't think he's on the day I'm there. So I'm just going to verify this. No, he is.
Who's not going to be?
Oh, well done.
No, it's this is a lineup that I've got to remember mentioning these. Carol Ann Ford, William Russell. Yeah, so they've been added ahead of Fraser Hines.
You've got to meet them, Adam.
Yeah, of course. Autographs, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So those are names that weren't mentioned on the Doctor Who news page. So for the 23rd of November. Mm. So that's fantastic.
I know you'd like to get your picture with Matt Smith, but I swear I'd want my picture with Tom Baker.
Yeah, me too, but that's not going to happen. I don't think that is.
Yeah.
It's not something that's going to be made available, I don't think.
I'd want with all of them.
But if I can get, even though I'm not allowed to have my picture taken with any of them, I do hope that rules are bent so as I can have my picture taken with Daphne and the mug.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic. Right, I was on about whowon.co.uk, wasn't I? I got slightly distracted then. Unearthly Child.
Adam.
Doesn't say who reads
Adam,
it, unfortunately.
Can I suggest...
No, you
can't.
Can
I suggest something with that mug so it doesn't get broken?
You may want
to put it in a box or something.
It's in a box.
A padded
it's
box.
Very well
it's in a padded box.
Yeah, it's very well packed.
I should be in a padded cell.
Anthology, which is a Blake 7 book. Is also available at Who Won. And the fantastic Doctor Who magazine with the Web of Fear and Enemy of the World double cover.
Which cover would you like, Adam?
Neither. But what I was interested in, I saw this in Tesco's. It's £9.99, though. A DWM special, 50 Years of the Doctors. I had a quick flick through that in Tesco's. It's very, very good. That's £9.99, though. That's a paperback magazine keepsake. Of the history of Doctor Who to date. It does actually include Peter Capaldi as well. Capaldi, or whatever you call him.
They've been releasing those throughout the year, like they've been releasing the Doctor Who Monster Special, the 40 Best Moments or whatever. They've been releasing those kind of things all year. So that's probably one of those.
Thank you. Right, so that concludes news. If you want to donate to the podcast, you can do so by visiting our page, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com, where there is a donate button on the page. And it would be most welcome and helps to keep the show running. I was going to say something else then.
Change?
That's a bit better.
Yes. That sounds better. He's back.
Nice and clear.
Hello, Curly. Yep.
Right. Fun and science, too.
You've come back at spot on the right time. By the way, if you want to go to our page, the Podbean page, is no www's. It's just the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com.
Yeah.
It's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Just a second. Let me.
Oh, he sounds really clear now.
Can I bring my notes back up?
What?
Did you swallow them? Did you, Kirby?
No, I closed all of.
Which
the...
notes are they? A flat, B minor.
B minor.
What? La 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 la.
Oh, I need a piece of paper.
Okay, that's interesting.
Is it? Might make a change.
Okay, I think that I am possibly ready.
No, well, I'm not, because I've got nothing to write the scores down on.
Well, Kirby, I thought you just did this all from memory.
Yeah.
I have started, about 3 weeks ago, I started putting together notes.
It's interesting to note how determined you seem to be now Matthew's not here.
Yes.
I'm still going to lose to Robert, but that's okay.
No.
Oh, my wife watched The 11th Hour over the weekend. She liked it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Along with you?
Does she want to watch more?
Yeah.
Okay.
She says she does.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Well done, Kirby. Well done. It may have taken 20 years, but well done.
Adventures with the wife in space.
The first question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Where did the weather balloon land?
At a wildlife sanctuary.
Which wildlife sanctuary?
One in the show. Yeah,
his notes are failing him.
I'll give you a point for that. A point for anybody who can name the wildlife sanctuary.
It's Min's Bridge.
It's Min's Bridge. Mary.
Yes.
What colour mugs do Unit HQ use?
Oh, whoa. Goodness. like navy blue.
Well,
I remember them being
you
dark.
Got, yeah, that's correct. You would have got a third point if you'd said TARDIS blue. Robert. Oh. Robert.
Yes.
What did the doctor stir his coffee with?
I know. Silicon rod.
That's correct. Kirby.
Master.
Who is the second person to disappear?
That would be Dr. Tyler.
Correct. Mary.
Yeah.
What colour headscarf does Mrs. Ollis wear?
Jeez.
Dollis.
Wow. Grey?
Nope. Anybody?
I take a guess?
Yes.
Oh, yellow?
No, it's blue. Robert.
Is it TARDIS blue?
No. Robert.
Is it TARDIS blue?
Robert. Oh,
yes,
Robert.
Sir.
What law of time prevents the Doctor from meeting his other selves?
I know.
Isn't that the first law of law of time?
It is the first law of time. And after those questions, we have in second place, Kirby and Mary with three. And in the lead, with 4 points, Robert. This is Kirby's
Told
question.
You.
I don't believe it.
Kirby.
Master.
Right. What Beatles song was quoted?
Oh, I know.
The title of which.
I know.
I know.
We are all together.
I know.
No, Mary.
Actually, it's...
I am the walrus.
Correct. Mary.
I am the walrus.
Yeah.
It's what song...
I am
Shush.
The man.
What song does the second Doctor play on his recorder?
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Correct. Robert.
What song does Robert play on his recorder?
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Robert.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
What does Benton tell the brig the second Doctor is?
Oh.
Ooh.
I'm stumped. Come on, Kirby.
What was the question?
What does Benton tell the Brigadier that the second Doctor is?
him. I don't know.
Anybody?
Yeah.
The answer is the first one.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes. I know what you remember now.
Right, so...
The first one that they remember, anyway.
Yeah, so is this, whose question is this? I've lost where I am now.
it was my question, so it's Mary's
it's
next,
Kirby's
isn't
question.
It?
It's Kirby, yeah.
That's Kirby.
Kirby's question. Right.
Master?
What, according to the Time Lords, have Joe and the third Doctor passed over to enter the black hole?
The singularity.
Nope. Anybody?
What?
No, I know. I know.
Yeah, go on.
It's the event horizon, isn't it?
And I'll give you a point for that. It was absolute event horizon, but yes. Mary.
Wow, yeah?
Beyond the blue hoop event horizon, yes.
What object? Shush.
That wasn't me. That was I think, Larry Niven, possibly.
All right. Mary.
Yes?
What object do the Doctor and Joe first find in the quarry area?
I know.
Ah, the water cooler.
Is the correct answer.
Ah.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
Where does Joe want the Doctor to take her in Bessie? While they're in the, in the quarry.
I know.
I don't know.
Go on in, Kirby.
Kirby, go on.
Twice around the park.
Correct.
So, by the way, it wasn't Larry Niven. Beyond the Blue Horizon was a book by Frederick Pohl.
Okay, right. The score so far in last place with 4 points is Kirby. That's right. Yeah. So
I never win.
In second place with 5 points is Robert, and then the lead with 8 points is Mary. Right.
What, really? Wow.
This is Kirby's question.
Master?
Who, according to the Brigadier, wants an explanation from the second Doctor?
Geneva.
No, anybody?
Can I take a guess?
Yes.
The first Doctor?
No, the Security Council. Mary.
Yeah, the Security Council in Geneva.
Oh, give you, in Geneva.
I'll give you a point because I'm not going to get into an argument. Thank you. Pedantry. The new Security Council was the answer.
They're hard fought. Hard fought, aren't they, Keith?
Mary.
Yes, yes.
What does the Brigadier say when he first enters the TARDIS?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I can see it.
I know.
Oh, he said it in the episode.
Oh, it's that thing, yeah. So this is what you've been doing with unit funds or resources.
Near
or
enough. Yes.
Okay.
So this is what you've been doing with unit funds and equipment. Near enough.
Okay.
All right. Robert's question.
Yes, sir.
What are Omega's first words?
I know.
I do not know. I've got this. I said, how does anyone survive? Force of will?
It's wrong.
Mind, you might say, over antimatter?
It's wrong. Anyone have
you a... actually got one that I wrote down.
Yeah, go on then, Kirby.
Yeah.
At last, a Time Lord within my power.
Is correct.
Oh.
Right. So, therefore, that was Robert's go, wasn't it? The scores are in last place with 5 points, Robert. In second place with 6 points, Kirby. And then the lead with 10 points, Mary. So this is Kirby's question, then.
Master.
Who does the Brigadier call on the radio from within the TARDIS? The name of the person.
I want to say Anderson or something. I don't think that's right.
I know.
Go on in, I know. Robert.
Is it Corporal Palmer?
Yes, correct. Mary. Yes.
Okay, yes.
This question really should have gone to Kirby, so Kirby will probably get the points off if you get it wrong. What pun of Omega's makes the Doctor wince?
What of Omega?
Pun.
I don't
remember a pun.
Oh, pun. Pun. Hmm. Oh, is that bit about taking a pill with a swig of water?
No. Nope. Anybody?
Yeah.
Is Not it, me. Is that I don't that
mind
remember
mind over antimatter one?
Yeah, that's the one.
What was it?
Okay.
Mind over antimatter.
The quote that I just said.
Mind over matter. Okay.
Right, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Where does the Brigadier think they have landed?
Cromer.
Good enough. You would have got a third point if you said Norfolk. Norfolk first, and then he said,
Where's Cromer?
Okay. In Norfolk, obviously.
Yeah, where is it?
It sounds colourful.
Yes, chroma key.
Yeah, right. Sorry, was that your question, Robert? It was, wasn't it? I've lost where I am now. Therefore, this is Kirby's.
Yes, it was mine, yeah.
Kirby's question.
Kirby's question.
What is at the centre of the black hole?
Oh, my God.
No.
Can I guess?
Are you giving up, Kirby?
Sure.
Go on in, Mary.
Is that the singularity?
It is the singularity. Mary.
I too.
Mary. Well, they're the same thing. The singularity.
Well, Omega is the same thing?
No.
No, you said Omega.
No.
The Time Lords quoted in the script, at the centre of the black hole is the singularity. So whether that's the same thing or not, that's what was said in the script. They may have been wrong, but I'm relating to the script of this story. Okay. So this is Mary's question. What are Omega's closing words of episode 3?
I know.
I don't know. I'll pass it on.
Go on then, Robert.
Those who oppose the will of Omega shall not live. No, that's not.
Yeah.
Is it? Destroy him? Is that
yes,
one?
Exactly right.
Okay. Okay, good.
Word for word. Right. So, Robert.
Yes, sir.
What does the Second Doctor ask Omega?
Omega?
Be quiet! What does the Second Doctor ask Omega to conjure up?
A chair.
No, anybody?
It's no. A recorder.
Yes, correct, Mary.
I didn't...
No, too late. You said a chair. You go. Yeah, I'm going to have two goes. Well, he said no. Right, so after that round of questionings, in last place with 6 points is Kirby. In second place with 10 points is Robert. And in the lead with 12 points is Mary. Right, this is Kirby's question.
Wow,
Matthew must have 15 or 20
probably,
by now.
Yeah.
Yes!
Right, Kirby.
Master?
What does the second Doctor say when Omega has a tantrum?
He had several tantrums. Which one?
No.
Yes.
The one that where they're all together. But he, no, I don't think they. A line that stood out for the second Doctor said. Isn't it, all right, anybody?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It's, I told you he had no self-control. So that's one to me then.
Oh, yeah. He says that a few times.
Mary.
Yeah.
Why do you
who
remember?
Is the last person to enter the TARDIS when all hell, sorry, when all go in to hide? And they all run in, don't they? To hide in the TARDIS. Who's the last person to go in? This is when that Omega has his tantrum.
Yeah. Benton?
Nope. Anybody?
The second Doctor?
No, it's the third Doctor.
Third Doctor.
Right.
Okay.
Robert?
It didn't let me guess, Adam.
That's because everybody else butted in. Robert?
Oh, yes?
How is the second Doctor's recorder going to save them?
Because it's still matter, so antimatter collides with it.
Correct, completely.
And that produces a lot of energy.
You're right, I've already said correct, thank you. In last place with 6 points is Kirby. In joint first with 12 points each, it's Mary and Robert. So this is Kirby's question.
Well, high five, Mary.
Master. Kirby. Who entered the light stream first to return to Earth?
Dr. Tyler, right. I think.
Mary.
Yes.
Okay.
What are Omega's last words before the big...
I can't remember.
Anybody?
No!
No. The answer is...
commands? You command me?
No, it's you pester me with trinkets. Robert.
Yes, sir.
What were the second Doctor's leaving words?
Damn.
No.
Wish I'd taken notes.
No, not damn.
It wasn't damn. Oh, okay. Go on, Kirby.
I don't know.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, Mary?
No, don't know. Don't know.
It's been nice to meet me.
Oh. Yeah.
Of course.
Right, so there's one round of questionings left, and the scores at the moment are exactly the same as last
time. Give those points to Matthew.
Yeah, that's good. Good night. All the wrong points go to Matthew.
Then he'd be winning.
Okay, right. This question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Where does the dematerialization circuit materialize?
On top of the time rover.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mary. This is you're never going to get this one. This is you won't get this one. Watch Mr. Ollis's first name.
Oh, you're right. I won't get that one.
I think I saw it in the info text. Can I guess?
Yeah, I think I did too. Yeah.
Lawrence?
Pardon, say that again?
Lawrence?
No, nope. Anybody?
No, I know. Laurie.
No, it's Arthur. Arthur Ollis.
Yes.
Grief. Right.
Arthur?
Yeah, Arthur. You should have. You should have said that when I asked you the question, Mary. Okay, this question goes to Robert.
Yes, sir.
Right. What character did Roy Purcell play?
He was the president.
He's correct. And the final scores of this week's You Won't Get This One. In last place with 9 points is Kirby. Actually, that was a lie. 10 points, Kirby.
Master.
In second place,
Ploice.
and rent out a new mouth, is Mary with 12 points. And in the winner this week with 14 points, Robert.
Is Matthew.
By the skin of my teeth.
It's Robert. Yay, Robert.
Yay.
Those Those are hard, though.
Well, they're supposed to be.
Yeah, some are very hard.
It's called You Won't Get This One, as in you're not supposed to get the answers.
I think it's harder, though, as the episode goes on. I mean, as the story goes on, you forget the things that happen towards the end of the story. You
That's
know
right.
I mean?
You take better notes at the beginning, right?
Yeah, yes.
There were, for a while, I was tended to watch the first two episodes for some reason instead of the Omega ones, even though those are the best episodes, the two Omega ones.
Hmm.
But I would tend to start this and not watch it all the way through.
Okay.
Oh, one nice thing I noticed in the info text, which is pretty cool. They made a note that Bob Baker later helped write Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, we know that.
Oh, well, I didn't.
Yeah, I mentioned it on the show before.
He's won Oscars. He's won Oscars for it, too.
That's right. And there's a caricature of him in one of the – Bob Baker in one of the – in the bakery Wallace one.
Episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, you're going all funny, Robert.
He's out for that.
Bob the Baker.
Am I?
Yeah. Doesn't matter, though, because we're coming to an end.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just looking on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Lovely picture of Julia Bartlett Sloan holding up a copy of The Companions. Am I allowed to say her name?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's only Fred you can't.
Shouldn't that say Julia Geek Daughter Bartlett Sloan?
Yes, it should.
Well, how come it doesn't? I don't understand.
Yeah, I had looked on the magazine shelves and found that issue of Doctor Who magazine that there's also a picture of issue 465 that has the five doctors on it. And then she went over there and was rooting around on the same shelf and found the companions tucked behind some other things.
Ah.
Wow. I'm surprised they even carry it.
And then I had to quickly figure out, do I have another $20 for that?
Wow, that costs $20?
That magazine, The Companions, was $20.
Ouch.
Anyway. Wow.
The Doctor Who magazine was $10.
Okay.
So it was expensive night.
Next week, we'll be discussing the five Doctors to continue our theme of anniversary episodes. And, of course, the following will be Bit of Silver Nemesis and An Unearthly Child, episode one. A commentary of. So that'll be fun. We're going to do a commentary of an episode.
Fun.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
E?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's when we're recording. That's what I was going to ask.
Sunday, I hope.
Yeah, I hope Sunday.
That's what we're aiming for then, unless something comes up. And I think.
Wait, when are we doing the Unearthly Child?
That's the week after. We're doing Silver Nemesis as a review, and we're doing a commentary on An Earthly Child. Next week will be the last in the current series of You Won't Get This One.
Don't make us watch Silver Nemesis now!
Don't worry, you don't have to make notes. There won't be any
I've never been able to watch it.
Oh,
well, unfortunately, you will be watching it on this occasion. It's the 25th anniversary special. It's a shame that the Remembrance of the Daleks wasn't the 25th anniversary special, because that felt more like one. But anyway, that's it for this week's edition of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll have everybody back next week. And goodbye.
Bye. Bye. So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.